Welcome to Hot Breath Comedy Fam. On Monday, May 13th, I am teaching a clean comedy workshop. The last four I have taught sold out very quickly. So if you want to learn about clean comedy, the business side, where the line is, how to write clean comedy, go to the link in the description of this episode and we'll see you there.
What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? Welcome back to Hot Breath, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. It's your boy, comedian Joel Byers, and our mission here is to cultivate the next generation of great comics. And a big way we do that, my comedy buddy Yoshi So and I do a weekly live stream every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern time on our YouTube channel. We do a live Q&A, and we like to bring on special guests from time to time. So if you'd like to be a part of a future one, just join our email list linked in the description of this episode to get updates on when we're going live. And this week we had a very special guest, which means we had some very special technical difficulties that ended with us joining a Zoom room and everyone coming together and having a nice fireside chat all about the topic of social media. Our guest today has millions of followers across all platforms, and she just released her debut hour-long special titled Spiraling, available on Amazon, Apple TV, and much more. So Hot Brethren and Sistren, please welcome to the Hot Breathiverse, the one and only Leah Rudick.
Wow, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, thanks for being here. And please let us know what we can expect from your new special when we go and watch it.
Well, sure. This is Spiraling is it's my first hour long comedy special. And it's great if I do say so myself. Yeah. I feel super proud of it. I mean, it's sort of, you know, as one's first stand-up hour usually is, it's a culmination of, you know, many years of jokes. So it really does feel like my little baby that I'm releasing out into the world. And I really love how it came out. We filmed it back in April at this beautiful theater in North Hollywood called El Portal. I was so thrilled with how the taping went, and the process of putting it together with Comedy Dynamics was amazing. And I really love it. I'm really proud of it, which is not an easy thing for me to say or feel. I feel like I'm usually very hard on myself, but I really am. I'm very proud of this. It's really personal. It's a lot about my own family and my own upbringing. And yeah, I think that so far the response has been really positive, and I hope that more people watch it and like it.
Yes. So people listening right now, we're going to link it in the show notes of this episode. Go watch Leah's special, because a lot of people know her from social media, but she's actually been a performer for most of her life, doing acting and sketches and a lot more than like straight talking into a camera on social media. So she's a very skilled performer, writer who understands the craft and is really translating that into an amazing hour-long special. So yeah, congratulations. It's a big milestone.
Thanks. Thanks, Joel. I really appreciate that. It's been very cool to, you know, I have been doing comedy for a very long time, for, you know, over 15 years. And I feel really like very grateful that the platform that is social media has kind of given me increased visibility in this past year, and sort of has allowed this all to happen. It's been a really cool couple of years.
So where did your comedy journey start? Like what was the first thing that you sort of delved into at the beginning from your comedy journey, and how did you sort of end up where you are now? And then your decision into doing the special 15 years into the game.
Yeah, well, I started in sketch comedy. I moved to New York right out of college, and I was in a sketch troupe, and was living in New York for almost 10 years. And that's mainly what I was doing there. I started out in a larger group. It sort of quickly whittled down into a duo. So it was me and my comedy partner, who's still my writing partner, Katie Hartman. We had a sketch duo. We were called Skinny Bitch Jesus Meeting. Which it was based on like an inside joke, and we thought it was very funny, and it's a terrible name for marketing. And, you know, it was like, my mom was like, you'll never get on Jay Leno with a name like that. And she was not wrong, but you know, it was, so we were performing together for all that time in New York. And mostly we had like a residency at the People's Improv Theater, and we did like a ton of fringe festivals. We did Edinburgh a couple years. And that's really like, that's where I developed my voice. That's where I learned how to be a performer on stage. That's where I learned how to write. And then I moved to New York. My husband and I moved to New York. And I was kind of like, I didn't know what to do for a few years. I really struggled because my comedy partner stayed in New York, and I was like, I didn't want to just do sketch comedy with, it felt like with just like random people, start over.
So you moved to, where did you and your husband move to?
To LA. Sorry.
LA.
Say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we moved New York, to LA. Like,
you moved back to New York. Okay.
Oh no. I'm sorry. That was my bad. Yeah. We moved to LA, and, Because during that whole time, like I was also very focused on acting, and you know, my husband's a filmmaker. We made a film together, and so we wanted to try LA. And that is a few years into living in LA is when I started dipping my toe in stand up, because I was like, my comedy partner is not here, and this is a way for me to still perform, still do comedy. And then that's kind of what I was doing. You know, I've been doing that for about the past 8 years. And then during the pandemic, we weren't performing, and I really hated doing Zoom comedy. And my brother, who is also a stand-up comedian, he lives in Cincinnati. He kept being like, you got to get on TikTok. You got to get on TikTok. And I was like, no, I'm not getting on TikTok. TikTok is for children. But he kept pushing. He was like, you can grow organically there in a way that you just can't on the other platforms. And eventually I was like, okay, I'll just try it. So I started posting like a few stand-up clips, and then I ran out of stand-up clips, and I was like, okay, well, I'll just start doing some like characters. And that was kind of the beginning of this kind of ride and this kind of growth. So that was like 2 years ago. Wow. Yeah. And then I built this like great audience, and I started touring, and it's been so cool. And just like, I don't know, it's like this crazy thing where I feel like I've been doing it for so long, and to like finally feel some kind of like validation, and some like to really like feel like I have an audience for the first time is like so amazing. I feel like I'm just like appreciating it in a way that like I would not have if it had happened, you know, 2 years in, or even 7 years in.
I have to ask you, like, I've heard you say you're like introverted.
Yeah.
And yet you're able to put yourself out on social media. How, because something I'm struggling with is overcoming the friction of like hitting post. For some reason, like, I've edited a lot of stand-up clips. I shot sketches this weekend, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna post all of them, one a day, and then I posted one, and then I re-edited it, and then posted it again today. I don't for some reason there's like a disconnect between like me creating something and then actually hitting publish. Is
yeah
Why? Help me.
It's hard. It's a muscle, you know, it really is. Like I struggle with that too. And I think that for me, what made me do it is that I was doing it on TikTok, which felt very anonymous because I didn't have friends. It took me a long time to be able to transition the stuff I was doing on TikTok onto Instagram, because I was like, Instagram is where the people I know exist, and I am afraid to be embarrassed and to, you know, to feel like they're seeing, to be vulnerable. So I just put stuff on TikTok because I was like, I don't know anyone on TikTok. And like little by little, because there's something about just like, it kind of felt like I was just like throwing it into the abyss, and it was like, it'll either hit or it won't. And if it doesn't, it doesn't matter. No one's going to see it.
It's such a different thought process than most comedians have, which is, I don't want everything out, right? Like, it feels like you were just like, you just let the wind fly. You're like, all right, it doesn't matter.
I didn't feel precious about it at all. I was just like, I'll just try this because I'm not doing anything else, you know?
Yeah. That's fantastic. And now, so you said you shot it in April, and when was it released?
Tuesday, last Tuesday.
So what was the process between the shoot and last Tuesday in terms of, like, I guess maybe something I don't know if anyone knows or not, but in my mind, you shoot a special and then you kind of release it, because we've talked to a lot of comics as well. It's like, oh, they just put it out as soon as they kind of release it. In the time when it was shot versus the time that it was released, sort of what was the process between that?
And to sell it instead of putting it just on YouTube as well. So like, you're going in another path here.
Well, it was a lot of it was not in my control, because it was produced by Comedy Dynamics. Mm-hmm. And so that all happened like Comedy Dynamics just kind of like handled it all. Like, they did all of the pitching. It was hands-on in terms of like editing. We went back and forth for several edits, like several rounds of notes. They did an amazing job. And they were very much like, they took all of the notes. They wanted me to feel really happy about it. But in terms of the back end, like selling and getting it out there, that was just their production company. You know, I know a lot of comics will shoot it on their own and try to sell it, pitch it around, and then if it doesn't land, they'll just put it out on YouTube, which is a very great option nowadays, I think. But in this case, it was like, they just, Comedy Dynamics just handled all of that, which made it easy for me.
Yeah, and Jerry asked how the Comedy Dynamics get involved. How'd you work with that? Yeah.
Comedy Dynamics contracted me to do it. So essentially,
so fancy.
I know. It was really exciting. It was really exciting. Back in, they hired me. Back in last December, maybe, my manager called me in and he was like, hey, Comedy Dynamics is doing this festival where they're going to be shooting like a handful of our specials. They're looking specifically for people who have like bigger social media platforms. Do you want to shoot an hour in April? And I was like, sure, even though at that time I didn't have an hour. I had 40 minutes because I had just started headlining. You know, as a result of this like social media growth, I had just like, it was just the beginning of that. So it was basically just like a fast track of like from January to April. I just hit the road so hard. And there's something really useful to having a deadline, because like, if you had told me that I would write like an additional 20 minutes in like 4 months, I would have been like, no, that's not possible. But it's like, if you have a deadline, you force yourself to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just traveled really hard for 4 months and got up. I was just on the road nonstop and got the hour in shape to a place that I wanted it. And yeah.
And Michelle asked, have you already started writing your next special?
I have. It's been an interesting process of sort of like figuring out how to, you know, sort of like release and add and like I at this point I because it's this tricky thing where like I don't have a full new hour yet, but I also don't want to be going back to the same cities and going to cities where people have seen the special and doing what they've already seen. So it's been a fast sort of, I'm turning over as fast as I can. So right now it's my hour is sort of like half of what is in the hour that's out now and half new stuff. And my goal is to have a full new hour by, I guess by April of 2024.
Very cool. Well, let's get into social media. Let's get into the weeds on social media. And I just see Ben asked really quick. He started in Chicago, and he works in smaller markets. Gets booked in smaller markets. Should he move somewhere more central than Chicago, or stay and grind in Chicago?
I think Chicago is an amazing city to be in.
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago is an incredible comedy scene. They have so many great rooms there, and you have access to so many like Midwestern markets. And at this point, you could do what you're doing anywhere. Like it, mm-hmm. you know. I think that Chicago's a really good place to be unless you feel a driving force to, I mean, I think the only other options would be New York or LA. But I think in terms of, you know, if you want to get the most stage time possible, New York is the place to go. But I think Chicago is probably right after that.
For sure. Yeah. Good question though. Yeah, you can really do it from anywhere, and you're an example of that in terms of just like seeing it work, I guess. We're all trying to figure out social media. I mean, I just interviewed like Joey Avery, who recently like blew up doing crowd work stuff, and Gianmarco Cerezi, who also blew up doing crowd work stuff. But you found it from just like, oh, instead of me having to like go to a show, which you still post some stand-up, but yeah. Like the lift of going to a show, setting up a camera, having audio, post-editing and all of that, instead of just setting up a camera with a light and just being like, here's something funny, like that sounds way more sustainable. So like, what is kind of your production process? It sounds like you had a writing partner. Like, let's get into the weeds on kind of like your creation around like consistent social media content.
Yeah, I mean, I do everything. Everything I do on my own. It's all just me. I have a Google Doc that is just at this point, I don't know, 150 pages of
literally.
Yeah, like it's just called TikTok Brainstorms, and I just I don't know, that's just kind of how it's unfolded, and I get in there and I just write, I just brainstorm, and it's gotten a little bit harder with being on the road to keep up the consistency, but I try, and also it just is like, it's fun for me, so it doesn't feel like a chore. Like my favorite thing to do is make these videos. Like it really, like it does fill my soul. So I just will sit down and I'll be like, okay, I want to write, you know, a wealthy woman today, and let me just pick a place and And then it often starts with just like a phrase that is funny to me, and I'll just kind of build on that. And then I shoot it. I usually shoot it the same day. I shoot everything in my house. I mean, this is like the backdrop that I use for all of my Wealthy Woman videos. And it's just my phone and a ring light. It's pretty straightforward. With stand-up shows, I bought like a nice camera, and I think that was like a really good investment. And I film all of my shows, and if there's a piece of crowd work that I really love, I will clip that up. I taught myself how to use Premiere Pro, like a super basic concepts. And I really like editing too. So for me, it's all, I love every like aspect of producing short comedy videos.
That's fantastic.
This, Abhi had asked, and he actually asked, he posted this question before we went live, on YouTube, and then all of that happened. But, he said, if skits or sketches are not something you're comfortable with, what content would you recommend posting other than stand-up and crowd work to help grow your audience?
I mean, I think that that's super specific to each person. You know, I don't make character videos because I think that that's what I'm supposed to do. I do it because that's what I love to do. So I think it's finding what is fun for you to do, what feels fun and funny. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a sketch. It can be like you taking your camera and, you know, a joke that you're working on for stand-up, trying to do that like straight to camera, like trying to adjust it so that it's like you're just like yourself, like walking down the street saying this thing. I mean, there's a million different ways, and I think it's just an issue of a question, like, speaks to you as a creator, as an artist, as a comic. What makes you laugh, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. The fun thing is really resonating with me, as most of what I've tried to create so far has like felt like something I needed to create or I'm supposed to be creating, but it's not necessarily something I'm maybe like as excited about.
Yeah, I think that's something that we forget a lot, because it's like, oh, in like this idea that, oh, in order to get ahead, we're supposed to be doing these things, we're supposed to be posting, we're supposed to be clipping up stuff. And there's some sort of like an energetic thing. It doesn't work like that. Like it's like you have to, I think that it's so important to come from a place of like an organic desire to say something, to make something, like it, not for the purpose of I should be doing this. I think it's easier said than done, because obviously like there is like an element of business, which is like, okay, there has to be some consistency and there has to be some, you know, output. But I think it's really important to like take a step back and be like, what like is feeding my soul? What is like making me giggle, you know, and not what I think the world wants to see. Yeah. Not what I think I'm supposed to be putting out there, what I want to put out there because it delights me.
Yeah, I think I'd heard you say that before in an interview, was like, anytime you tried to post something for the algorithm or that you saw other people doing, it would tank.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime I've done something where I've been like, oh, this is going to be like a winner, you know, because because I've seen it work for other people. Yeah. The stuff that like does really well is stuff that I'm like, I can't imagine anyone else would, but I'll just put it out and see, you know? And like stuff that I think is not going to work at all is often what like goes viral. Because I think people respond to like truth, you know? they respond to like organic shit.
The most profound, that is the title of the episode.
Organic shit.
Yeah, that's going to be the title of the podcast.
Compass comedy.
Yeah.
That should be your next special.
I think it will be. Yeah.
Does Dietrich asked how often you need to post clips? Like, do we need a weekly schedule?
They say you do. I don't know. I try to, but sometimes I don't. I can't keep up with it. You know, like, I think on average, I post like a few times a week, probably on average, like 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll get in, if it's like a time where like I'm not touring and I'm like home, then I try to post every day. But I think you just have to figure out what works for you and be consistent with that. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what I've heard. So like, if you can post every day and keep that up, that's awesome. Twice a week, do that consistently. That's what they say, the powers that be, but I don't know. It's all been, for me, it's all been trial and error. And I feel like it still is trial and error. I don't know how to game the algorithm any better than anybody else does.
It just sounds like you know something. I mean,
I know something in that I've been sort of obsessed with it for the past 2 years. But I still don't know. Like, I don't know if hashtags work. Like, sometimes hashtag. Ultimately, I think none of that stuff matters as much as we think it does. What matters is sharing organic shit.
Yeah.
What actually takes off is stuff that is actually like funny and good, you know?
And shareable, like you said, like something.
And terrible. Yeah.
How people almost like interact now is they'll just DM reels to each other. That's like part of my feed now almost is like my DM getting like reels from people like, oh, this reminds me of so-and-so or such-and-such. Like that connectivity is like a new layer to content.
I think I lost. Are you there?
Did you lose?
I lost a part of your question.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying, like, you referenced, like, being able to share it, but the shareability seems to be a big part of, like, people wanting to send it to a friend and they can kind of, like, connect over this piece of content.
Yeah, totally. You see something that resonates and you're like, oh, this is, like, what this person does. This, yeah. I think that is a big part. But I don't know. For me, it's hard to manufacture that, right? Like, I can't reverse engineer it. I can't be like, well, what is gonna be a thing that someone else wants to send to their friend? Like, it doesn't work like that. Every time I've tried to like reverse engineer something, it's like crashed and burned.
So is it an instinct? Like, what? Yeah, what's going on over there? What is? What do you know over there, Leah? What do you know that us comics can learn from?
I mean, I'm just a weirdo. I don't know. Like, I'm just like, I mean, first of all, like, I have been doing comedy for 17 years. And so yeah. I just know what I like. I know what makes me laugh. I know how to, like, write jokes in a succinct way. And that is something that to a certain extent can be learned, and you know, and then it's just like it just is like what I think is funny. I just sit down and I just like write what I think is funny, and I think that is something that anyone can do, you know. And there are ways to hone that skill. Which is just writing consistently and taking in as much comedy as you can, and just really doing all the things to get in touch with your sense of humor and your voice.
So what is your writing process? Like, what's the thing that you do from a writing perspective? Like, how do you write? Do you write daily? Do you schedule it out? Is it spur of the moment? Sort of what, and has that evolved? And then also with your writing process, what do you sort of decide to then put out to the world? Like, what do you then decide? Oh, okay, I'm going to make something on TikTok about this.
Yeah, it's kind of an ever evolving process. And I think I sort of delineate it. So I'm like, okay, right now I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write stand up. Or right now I know that I need and I want to put out a video today. So I'm going to sit down and do this. And then it's like just starting with, I think for all of it, it's like starting with a subject or a topic. So if I sit down and write stand up, it's like, okay, I'm going to write about, you know, my marriage today. And then it's kind of just free writing. I mean, I will often just set a timer like for 30 minutes and just free write. And it's the same with like TikTok and Instagram videos. I'm like, okay, I want to write a video today. Let's pick a character, right? So it's like, I'll do a wealthy woman or I'll do like my love coach character. And then I just kind of sit and I wait for something to click in, and it doesn't always happen. And there's a lot of writer's block and a lot of staring at the wall and being like, why can't I think of anything to write? And then I don't know. And then something comes and I don't know where it comes from. That's how art works, right? You just like, you sit with yourself and try to get out of your own way. And sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. And sometimes I sit and I write stuff and I'm like, this is trash. And then I just have to put it away for the day. It's hard. It's not like, it's fun when it clicks in and like there's a flow, because then it's like, then it's easy, right? You're like, oh, I'm like this, I'm just like sitting here with my like thoughts and it's, I'm making myself giggle. But 75% of the time it's like, this is horrible. Why, like, what is wrong? Like, why can't I do this? Does that answer your question?
It does, because that sounds about normal.
That's so important to hear that we're like, yeah. Oh my gosh, she has millions of followers. Everything must just be magic, and every day she wakes up and is like, oh, how should I go viral today? It's like, literally, you're just showing up and doing all the grunt work, and then the distillation of all this hard work and staring at the wall and self-denial, you just keep sitting through that, and then that's when you start to find like the things worth keeping.
Yeah. And I think that is just I think we all know that is just the process to making anything. That's, you know, it's a lot of finding tricks to get out of your own way. And more often than not, it doesn't work, I think.
do you have like a video or like a script structure at this point of like, okay, I know I need a laugh in the first 7 seconds, or 30 seconds works better than if the video is 45 seconds. Do you have like a formula like that?
How do you mean?
So I've heard like in the YouTube world, especially in like shorts, they're like, all right, you got to have a hook, and then set up the thing you're going to pay off at the end. But for your sketches, do you have it broken down into like, okay, I have this topic I want to do about this wealthy woman talking about this topic, and now I know I need a joke like at 5 seconds, at 15 seconds, like how many laughs along the way are...
I break it down in an exact timeline like that. I just try to make as many jokes as I can, as many jokes as I can possibly shove in.
Yeah.
And like with the wealthy woman videos, there's kind of a formula there, right? It starts off with a hook where it's just like, did you know this thing? So I think that that's the hook where it's like, people are responding to like, oh, I'm going to get a piece of information here that I didn't have before. And then it's just like, I just try to write a joke at every sentence, you know, and it doesn't always work, but like, that's the goal. And I'll like write a rough draft and then I'll go back and I'll be like, how can I punch this up? How can I make this line funnier? What word can I adjust here that is like, you know, like, should I use the word like I put out one yesterday where I was like, should I use the word pusser? Is there a funnier word than pusser? Like,
right.
Pusser was, and eventually I was like,
that was the right word. I watched it. It was
clutching weird. My pearls over here.
I was like, is TikTok going to ban me if I use the word pusser? You know, so it's also, that's also another thing where like, my mind veers toward dirty. Like I like dirty jokes. I like sex jokes. I like poop jokes. But it's been like an interesting challenge because TikTok and less so Instagram, but TikTok is really like they'll just take your video down. And so it's been like a kind of a good experiment in or challenge in like writing at the top of your intelligence where I'm like, I can't just say the word pussy because I know they're going to ban me. So I'll try the word pusser. That's not an example of writing at the top of your intelligence, but you know what I mean. It's like
just ER. We'll just ER it.
Yeah. Sometimes having like a framework like that is helpful though, right? Because it's like sometimes being like having boundaries, I think, is useful.
Boundaries.
I guess
just therapy? What is
like a
framework.
Basically like is like your Denny's and Waffle House. I love those two clips. And like, but in your mind, I love how you sort of take people to that place and then I'm visualizing everything that I'm seeing at the Denny's. And you describe the people, you describe the stuff that you see. So like, is there a framework in your mind or are you literally just going through that? And are you going to Denny's and be like, all right, what do I see here? Or are you just like coming up with as many jokes as possible and just try to like rattle off from your own experiences?
I come up with as many, it's all in my brain. Like, or I'll like Google just to be like, what is the interior of Denny's? Cause I haven't been there in a long time. And yeah. I use that as like fodder. And then it's like just like looking at something like specifically for the wealthy woman character where it's like, what would a person who has no frame of reference for what this is, like no language for understanding what the Cracker Barrel is, how would she describe these things with words that she has? Yeah. So I guess that's what I mean by like having a helpful framework. It's just like sometimes being able to like hone in and like, I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
All right. No, but I get it though. So basically you're not trying to like fill everything. You're just going in from a framework of what would a wealthy woman that has no frame of reference for what this restaurant, it's almost like if they were to travel back in time, they have no idea. They looked at Denny's.
Yeah.
They're seeing from their
perspective.
Yeah.
And it's also for me just like kind of making lists of what are the elements to this place. Like what are the elements of Denny's? Like we know they have the Grand Slam menus. We know they have the tired waitresses because it's open all night. We know they have the booths. So like, so then sort of projecting onto those things. Like it's a lot of like list making of like, these are the things that this place has. What would someone who's never been there, who has a very different reality, call them? And how can I make that funny?
For sure. As you're doing like a lot of social media stuff, have you, I guess, I don't know if you've gotten into this world, have you thought about like sponsorships or sort of doing like brand deals or anything like that as someone who's done social?
Yeah, I mean, I would love that. I love some more money.
says the wealth, the wealthy woman talk.
Yeah. I've done a few. I did a few videos for this company called Balesa. They make like sex toys, which those were really fun. I did one for like a alcohol free, like a, what are they called? Non-alcoholic like liquor thing. But I would love to do more. I get reach out sometimes, and you know, it has to be the right fit. And I also never want to like oversaturate with things that feel like ads, because that just doesn't feel good to me.
Yeah, I just did like shows.
Did I freeze up again?
Oh, your video did, but we heard you.
Okay, great.
Oh yeah, but I just did some shows with a comedian named Carolyn Xavier, who's like, she's been doing stand up a couple years, but then she blew up doing this like recovering Californian character.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and she was already talking about brand deals she's done. Like, she got paid more than I got paid for doing the show we were doing together, for just wearing a hat in like one of her videos. Like, and I was just like, oh, I need to figure this out. And then that's why I ran home and was like, oh, she inspired me. I'm shooting sketches and I'm posting them all week. And then I posted the same one 2 days in a row. So,
the what? Post the other ones.
Yeah.
Why not? What's the worst that can happen? Your friends will make fun of you behind your back?
I don't know, because I've interviewed several social media people, and after the interview, I'm like, this is it. This is the time it all changes. And then it's like I get out of the orbit of that inspiration, and then gravity just pulls me in the direction of apathy and complaining so much easier, you know?
Yeah, it's true. It is.
So much easier to say.
You should just do like schedule them so that they're just going out without you even having to like use that excitement and just schedule like.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Just a thought. Because I get it. Sometimes I'll be like so excited, and then I'll be like just, then your head gets in the way and you're like, this is shit. You're shit.
All this organic shit.
All this organic shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
what's the point? Yeah.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
What is my wife going to say? You know, those kind of things.
Does she not like your sketches?
No, she thinks I'm funny, but like before I post.
Which is the way that you said it. No, she thinks I'm funny. She likes the comedy. Yeah.
She believes. But yeah, I get nervous of like if I post something and she's gonna see it and be like, "Oh, is this what he's doing? Is this paying? Like, what is happening right now?"
Yeah, I get that. I just do it. Just do it. Like, I like my husband.
That's
was,
what everyone says, right? Everyone literally says that. Like, everyone we've interviewed.
Because what else? Because what else? What's the other option? Not doing it, and then nothing changes.
And then nothing changes. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm posting it right now.
Yes. Good. But also, I think like I my husband is like the most supportive person in the world, and I never show him my stuff before I post it. Rarely, because you don't like that anything that is gonna even slightly impede you just putting your stuff out there. You need to get all of the obstacles out of your way as much as you can, because there's already so many obstacles in your own brain.
Yeah, that's so good. And it literally just reminded me, because you just literally said earlier, finding tricks to get out of your own way.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, like you have to put as many tricks in your mind. Like, no, you're not going to see it. I'm just going to put it out.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'm going to sit down and write. I'm going to throw my phone in the other room so that like, yeah, yeah.
And that's interesting. Jerry asked Joel, how is posting a sketch any different than when you first started stand-up? Which I guess it's kind of the same mindset of, we get asked all the time from people, like, how do I get on stage the first time and overcome that hurdle? I guess that is kind of parallel to, like, overcoming the hurdle of, like, actually hitting the upload button. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just saying, totally. What's the worst that could happen?
Totally. I think it's exactly the same thing. In fact, I think that getting on stage and doing stand-up is harder.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
For sure.
Because, like, you can put something on the internet and not get a response, and that sucks, but getting up on stage and being live in person and not getting laughs is more painful, I would argue.
On one of your TikToks, you talked about, like, sort of just having a list of goals and how you're super proud of, after like 15 years of doing this, 15 years plus of doing this, you put out your special. Do you have anything else that you're sort of like okay sharing that you like want to get to now that you've sort of hit that big goal? Like a big thing that you're like,
I want to sell a show, like a TV show.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been working on something. And that's the goal for 2024.
I love it. Is it based on one of your characters, like based on your life?
I think it will be a wealthy woman thing. We'll see.
That's so cool.
We'll see. TBD.
TBD.
Yeah.
And I am hitting upload. It's a video, because the lady.
Let me be the first one to comment. Trash. That way you just get it out of the way. I'll be the first one. Just get it out of the way.
That's so generous of you.
Because Carolyn Xavier starts all of hers with like, "Hey, I'm the recovering Californian here." Like, she always opens up with that like hook.
Yeah.
So for these, I did a few of like, "Hey, it's Tropy husband Joel." Because she said recovering Californian, she's like, "That's funny immediately, so people may want to stay." So basically, yeah, I just uploaded it.
Yes. Good for you.
I'm gonna be famous. Hey,
I'm gonna
guys.
Be famous.
I love the. I posted one yesterday, and then after it didn't blow up, I was like, "I need to edit it down more. I need to tighten it up." And then I just tightened it up and posted it again, and it's like probably even less views than the first.
Yeah, I do that too, where I'm like, "Oh, it must be because I didn't cut it off at this exact point. Let me just get in there and fix it." And it's like, no, it wasn't that. It's just,
well, because when you research, like, especially short form content, like, and like, people are like, "Oh, every breath and syllable counts," and like, you know, like, they really will get it down to like a molecular level. But I guess, you know, you don't have to, I guess. Or are you that meticulous with your editing?
I mean, I obsess over the writing, I think, to a certain extent. You know, I think it's this constant like battle of like perfectionism versus just getting it out there and moving along, you know, because it's like, the way we consume is so fast these days, and it's just like scroll, scroll, scroll. So like, you know, I get it to a place where I am like, good, this is good enough. And then, but you can't, I don't think you can obsess over a short form video for days, you know?
How much time would you say you spend on one, like, but from the scripting to the recording to the editing, like, how much time do you think goes into like a 60 second video?
It depends. I feel like once I have the seed, and that's what takes, I feel like that's what takes the time, is like finding the in, finding the thing that I'm like, okay, this is what this is gonna be. You know, if I have that, then I would say the writing of like Wealthy Woman, for example, like probably takes an hour, 2 hours. Sometimes I'll like write a draft, step away, come back. And then the recording takes also probably about an hour. There's no editing because I just do that in one take. If I do one that's edited, that takes 30 minutes to an hour, depending on what it is. Stand-up clips take a little longer. Yeah, so I also started with The Wealthy Woman. I started using a teleprompter because I there's like, it just is like a lot to get out in a minute.
Smart. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like a cheat, but I don't know.
I've been doing it for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And something to learn, yours are also visual. So it's like when someone's flicking through, just seeing your video is almost like a hook in itself of like, oh, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's smart too.
Yeah. Thanks.
It's just something to notice of how people can, yeah, differentiate their content as we're all like, almost like playing the lottery every time, like learning from those little details of how you're able to find success with it really can... Hopefully, I mean, this may be the one. Well, thank you so much for your time. I definitely went ahead and upgraded my Zoom account just so we could get all this in. So I definitely appreciate you've taken the extra time here.
Of course. This was really, really great. It's really fun to like dig into the nitty gritty, and it's really fun to talk about. So thank you for letting me talk and for asking such good specific questions.
Yeah. I have one question for you before we go. Like, what is the one thing that you'd give, like, you know, because this community is, you know, we started a couple years ago and it's really like up and coming comedians who have started their comedy career. What's the one piece of advice you give to comics now who are sort of in this thick of social media comedy and trying to like get their stuff out? Is there like one piece of advice that you've heard or that you use or that you would give to comedians today?
I mean, it's pretty basic, obvious advice, but it's just like, I'm just going to say the Nike slogan, just do it. Like, just put it out, just like move. You know, I think that the enemy is, what's it called? Not movement. What's that? Stasis?
Yeah.
I think that's the enemy. It's probably gonna be bad. It's gonna be bad for a minute. And you have to just like be okay with that. Like, and for me, that was like TikTok was like, it was okay for me to be bad at TikTok because it wasn't in front, like, it was just for, it felt like it was for nobody. So I think just being comfortable with like not being amazing right away, but no, it's hard to do.
Oh, you cut out there for a second. Just being bad and then what you said?
Just getting a little bit comfortable with like not being perfect and not letting that paralyze you. Which is really hard, you know, but like the most important thing is movement, I think, and output.
And then build momentum on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you'll get better. Like you'll get better. So like, and you'll get better faster than you think, in my opinion.
I'm about to blow up, y'all. Like she said, you're going to get better faster than you think. That was the one right there.
And it'll surprise you. And I think also like do it because you like to do it and do your best to like throw the expectations out the window. You know, I think that like if you can just be like, this is fun and this makes me happy. And if it blows up, that's a perk. Also a lot easier said than done.
You're still a realist.
Yeah.
I freeze again.
For a second, but we caught you saying, but it's easier said than done.
Whatever I said.
So where, we'll definitely put links to your social media and of course your new special available on Amazon right now, Spiraling. Where do you want to say, what all would you like to promote? Let it rip.
I think, just the special, which is, it's on Amazon, it's on Apple TV, it's on Google Play, it's also on YouTube, it's on a bunch of places. That's fine.
I mean,
no,
on Amazon.
It's on there. It is on there.
And the dismount, I blew it.
Ruined it.
Beating you down.
That's the main thing. And then just my social media. I'm on tour. I'm constantly updating my tour date. So that's all on my website or on my social media.
Leah, thank you so much for being on here. Thank you to everyone that joined us in the Zoom. Thank you those of you that are listening to this afterwards. Go support Leah. She took time to do this, so go watch her special. Reach out to her on social media and let her know you enjoyed this. And if you want to get more info about more Q&As we're doing, just join our email list that is linked in the description of this episode as well. We love you all. Have a good day.
Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.